Hey everybody, it's Joe McGee. You know, we live in absolutely the greatest time of human history. Now, I know the news is full of a lot of information, but really, if you just go look at your Bible, just read history as God had it written down. The last days were the greatest days. Greatest days for the church, greatest days for the body of Christ. I know there are people that are panicking, and I'm the only preacher in my family, so I get a lot of phone calls. Every something bad news comes out. Hey, what do you think this is? Well, it's nothing. We just live in a great moment right now. This is the time for us. So I thought, you know, all my family's asked so many questions, and people, because we've traveled for the last 27 years, and people ask, what do you know about end times? Well, I used to teach on it a lot. You know, years ago, I taught about the Illuminati and the 666 and the Rockefeller Files and all the scary stuff. And I was in a very large church, and people were excited. So somebody asked me to teach on it. So I started on a Tuesday night, and I'd teach a little bit. And, well, it just wouldn't even end. It just was so much. People were so excited, so scared, so concerned. I said, guys, the church shouldn't be concerned about anything. This is our greatest day. And so what I did is, you know, I got to where I wouldn't teach on it anymore because it was just too controversial. Are you a pre-trib, a mid-trib, a post-trib? I said, listen, guys, why is there so much confusion? Well, the devil's the author of confusion. So God's real clear, and he's real simple, and he loves his people, and he's going to let us know something before he does it. So what we're going to do, we're going to methodically put this together. So I call this the foundation. People say, are you going to teach on end times? I don't even like that term, end times. There is the time never ends. We're going to live forever. Time never ends. As you go from one generation to another, one day there'll be the rapture of the church, there'll be the 1,000-year reign, there'll be a new heaven, new earth. We live forever. It's called eternity. And so what we're trying to do is put everything in sort of a timeline. It's like, well, what is going on right now? So I'm going to give you some scriptures, and this is going to do this very methodically, and you're going to learn a lot. You really are. It's going to simplify a complicated thing. So what I'm going to quote first is out of Esther. And people say, what's that got to do with the end times? Well, it really doesn't, but Esther was concerned about something. She was the queen. You know, they had a beauty contest, and she won, and the king liked her, and then all of a sudden, we got some people that don't like the Jews, so some guy that's a bad guy got the king to make a law that all the Jews could be killed. And so Esther realized something, you know, Mordecai came to, hey, you know, you're a Jew, eventually he'll have to kill you. And so the whole story, she goes to the king, and she throws him a party, and then she lets him know, well, I'm a Jew. And he said, you're kidding. And he said, well, I got to make another law, because the king's like God. He can't make a bad mistake or a bad law. So he says, well, I made a law, the Jews can be killed, but I'll make another law. The Jews can defend themselves. And it did any real good. But when the holy guy came to Esther, he said, darling, you have been born for such a time as this. You've been born. Don't panic. Don't get scared. Don't run away. You are our salvation. You have been born for such a time as this. So I tell people in the body of Christ, I tell Christians on our seminars, I teach all over the country, this is the greatest day of human history to be alive. And people have taught me, well, it's a bad time to have kids. No, it's a great time to have kids. Well, it's a bad time to get married. No, it's a perfect time to get married. We're going to live forever. We live in the greatest day of human history. God promised in the book of Acts, on the last days, I'll pour my spirit out on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. You'll dream dreams. You'll have visions. So we live in the greatest time of human history. But you kind of got to set up biblically. So people say, well, what does the Bible say? Well, you have to understand, the book of Genesis alone covers some 2,500 years. Just Genesis. The New Testament, from Matthew to Revelation, covers about 70 years. It's two dispensations. One ended, another began, but you have to understand both of them. So I'm going to give you something that where Jesus was dealing with it, because, you know, he comes to earth to save mankind. You know, this is God in human flesh. So I like this. So I'm going to give you this scripture. This is Matthew chapter 15. Now, everything I'm going to quote comes out of the New Living Translation. It's the one I love to study. It's the one I love to read. I still study the King James, but I don't speak King James. So I love the New Living Translation. All this will come out of the NLT. This is Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 22. It said, a Gentile woman who lived there came to Jesus pleading, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. The Bible says Jesus gave her no reply. Now, Jesus is sitting right there. The lady said, hey, can you help me? Jesus didn't give a reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged Jesus, send this woman away. She's nagging us. It's a mother concerned about a daughter who's demon-possessed. He said, send her away. She's messed up. Tell her to go away. They said, she is bothering us with all her begging. Then Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. So what did Jesus come there for? Save Israel. He's come to save because Israel had a covenant with God. Starts back with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you know, even the term Jews, the tribe of Judah. It was shortened to, well, you're a Jew. You're of the tribe of Judah. And so you have to kind of put things in perspective. Who's talking? Who are they talking to? And what are they talking about? So from Genesis to Revelation, you can't just read a scripture. Well, who's talking? When were they talking? What was going on? Who are they talking to? What are they talking about? There's the who, what, where, how, why, when that we learned years ago as an engineer. I learned it in Bible school. You need to ask some questions. Well, what's going on? Don't take everything on face value. You got to dig around, you know. Gold has to be dug for, you know. And so they came and said, but she came and worshiped Jesus again, pleading again, Lord, help me. Jesus responded, it is not right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. Now, this is Jesus, you know. Jesus, I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to throw my stuff to the dogs. You're a dog. Woman, I'm here for the Jews. You're a dog. You're a Gentile. You're a dog. She replied, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. Dear woman, Jesus said, after he's kind of criticized, telling her, you know, woman, your faith is great. Your faith is great. And he granted her request, and her daughter was instantly healed. Instantly healed. What's going on? Jesus came for the Jews. He was born a Jew. Mary and Joseph were Jews. They're all the way down from Abraham. If you trace the family line of Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, the family line of Mary, the family line of Joseph, they both come from Abraham. Jesus was born a Jew. He had to come legally. He had to be born legal. And so God didn't cheat. So all of a sudden, Jesus is here legally. And he's of the tribe of Judah, and he's a Jew, and he's sent to help the Jews. So a lot of the scripture, you got to lay on this concrete foundation. Like, what's going on? God's trying to save the Jews. What's going on? Well, they're eventually going to reject him. Then God's going to extend that grace and mercy of salvation to the Gentile. But not yet. It's a process. So when you read the Bible, it's sort of a process. You got to learn what's going on. So I'll give you these scriptures. This is really, really good. It says this, Mark chapter 15, verse 2. When they arrested Jesus, they asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus simply answered, you said so. And he was just agreeing, well, yes, you said so. Matthew 2, verse 2. When the Star of David came, the wise men came, the whole story of Christmas, the shepherds are coming. He said, where is the newborn king of the Jews? These are shepherds, been out in the field, and they're coming in. They saw the star, you know, the story of the manger. They're coming in. Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've come to worship him. Who are you coming? Well, they'd heard the prophecy. Messiah's coming. He's going to be born. There are certain signs. And so even shepherds knew about the coming of the Messiah. And they saw the star that he's been born. Where is the newborn king of the Jews? Where's this baby who's going to be king of the Jews? I like this. John chapter 4, verse 9. Jews refused to have anything to do with the Samaritans. And you are a Jew. The woman who came to Jesus has been married several times. Jesus is at the well, and she's come to get water. And she said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me to give you a drink. And he starts to read her mail. He said, you've been married several times. The one you're with now is not your husband. You're just living with him. And she realized, oh, you're not normal. And she said, why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan. Jews hate Samaritans. They don't hang with Samaritans. They don't eat with Samaritans. They don't marry Samaritans. And she's shocked. Why are you even talking to me? She said, I'm a Samaritan. I know you're a Jew. And so all of a sudden, scriptures begin to come alive. And you realize something. There's several worlds going on right here that God came into. I like this. John chapter 4, verse 22. Jesus' salvation comes through the Jews. Where? Salvation comes through the Jews. I like this. Luke chapter 2. Verse 25, they're coming in and said, what are you doing? We're waiting for Messiah to come and rescue Israel. Who's Messiah coming for? The Jews. Who's going to rescue? The Jews. Who does God love? The Jews. They're his people. God wanted a people that he could bless that would make the world ask about the hope that's in them. God wanted to take one person, took Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Jewish people. He wanted a people that he could bless so much, I want to use you to provoke the world to jealousy. I want to use you to bless you so much that you'll realize, who are these people? When they went in the promised land, God told them, you're going to live in houses you did not build. You'll eat from vineyards you did not plant. I'm trying to bless your socks off. I'm trying to get the attention of a lost, dying world and make them ask you about the hope that's in you. And you'll say it's God. So it's just a great, great foundation. I like this. Luke 2:27. Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus as the law required. Why? They're Jewish. Well, how? 8 days, you got to come to the temple, present the baby. Well, that's what they're doing with Jesus, because he's a Jew. Come present the baby. Luke 3:15. Everyone was expecting Messiah to come soon. Perhaps John the Baptist was the Messiah. They thought John was the Messiah. Man, he's out here wearing that crazy camel hair coat and eating those fried bugs and dipping people in the water. Who is this guy? Well, John the Baptist was the first marketing agent in the Bible. God used John to draw a crowd to his son. My son's come, but you don't know my son. You're lost as a goose. You don't know you need my son. So I'm going to use this guy as our marketing guy. And he's going to say, he said, listen, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The first time John the Baptist saw Jesus, behold the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world. The world was lost. We got to get him back. How are you going to do that? I got to send a human. How'd you lose? Well, a human lost it. Adam. A human's got to get it back. Jesus. The first and second Adam. That's the whole comparison between the whole Bible. The first Adam lost it in the Garden of Eden. They got fired from the job, evicted from the house. Kids start killing each other. But I'm going to send a second Adam. But he's got to come legally. He's got to be born on earth because a human lost it. A human's got to get it back. So God's got to come to earth as a human. But he can't do that until God finds someone on earth that will give him his son. So God needed one human from this planet. He needed a human that will give him his son. So that's the whole story of Abram before he was Abraham. And Sarai, contentious woman, before she's Sarah, mother of princes. So God comes to this guy who couldn't have any babies. He said, hey, get outside your tent. I want to show you something. He said, look up the stars of heaven. You see those stars? That's how many children you're going to have. Now, this is a 100-year-old man. He could not have babies when he could have babies. He can't have them because he's too old. And so Abraham said, well, look at the stars of heaven, Abraham. That's how many kids you're going to have. And the old man says, okay. Takes him down to the seashore by the lake, and he says, you see all these sands? That's how many kids you're going to have. And he said again, okay. And it's almost like what Mary said to the angel, be it unto me according to your word. There are some people who just decided to believe God. Do you know everything? Can you speak Greek and Hebrew? Maybe, maybe not, but I do believe God. People say, have you ever seen Jesus? No. How do you know he exists? I just know it. I know it by faith. God spoke. I know. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to spend eternity in heaven one day. I'm going to rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. It's all in the Bible. And so when you talk about like what we're talking about, like the last days, the end time, God builds to a crescendo. God's going to finish strong. God's not going to finish weak. The church isn't going to be in prison or beat or jailed or whatever. You got to realize something. When you read, for example, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you got to make sure who's talking. Some of the scriptures are for the Jews. And so there's the last 7 years of human history. It's for the Jewish people. And Daniel 70 years. We'll get into that in another teaching. But right now, we are in what's called the church age. But we're leading up. Where did the church age come from? What came from here? So, Galatians 4:4. At the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman and subject to the law. So, Jesus was born a Jew. So, sometimes it seems rude what he's saying. What is he talking about? Well, I'm a Jew. I've been sent to the Jews. I've not been sent to the Gentiles. I like this. Luke 7:1-10. A Roman officer got a servant that's sick. And so he heard about Jesus. Now he's a Roman officer. He's a Gentile. But he's heard about Jesus. He believes in Jesus. So he sends a servant to Jesus. Hey, my master, he's got a servant that he loves very much, but he's sick near death. He says he needs you to come. And so Jesus said, okay. Well, Jesus is coming. And before he gets to the house, the Roman officer sees him coming, comes up and says, Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. I don't need you to. I just need you to speak the word. He said, I too am a man under authority. I say to somebody, go and they go, come and they come. I understand you, Jesus. I understand how you work. You're a son of God. When you speak, God speaks. When I speak, Rome speaks. I don't need to have 1,000 men around me. I represent 1,000 men. When I say something, they do it. Why? Because of who I represent. You, Jesus, you represent God. I don't need you to come to my house. I just need you to speak the word. Jesus said, I have never seen faith this great in all of Israel. It is the greatest. Now, he's not even a Jew. And Jesus said, this is the greatest faith I've ever seen in all of Israel, a Roman. So faith works with everybody. It's an incredible story. I like this. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. They preached the word. Who did the disciples? They preached the word, but only to the Jews. Where did he come from? We came to save the Jews. Is he preaching to Gentile? Not yet. Let's listen. This is Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. Matthew 10, verse 5 and 6. Jesus sent the 12 apostles with these instructions. This is Jesus talking. Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Go only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. This is Jesus, you know, the Son of God, raised from the dead, sits at the right hand of the Father. He said, don't go to the Gentiles. I've not been sent to the Gentiles. I've been sent to the Jews. Don't go to the Samaritans. They're in trouble. They say, and then he helped. Yeah, but I've not been sent to them. I've been sent to the Jews. Matthew 15, verse 31. The crowd was amazed. People who couldn't speak were now talking. Crippled people were now well. Lame people were walking. Blind people could see. And they praised the God of Israel. Who? The God of Israel. The God of the Greeks, the God of the Romans? No. No, the God of Israel, the God. They praise the God. I love that. Matthew 11, verse 12 through 14. Jesus is the prophet. He's the one the prophet said would come. Who is this guy? Man, they've been writing about him for hundreds of years. The God will come to earth as a man. He's here. I love this one. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20 through 25. Matthew 11. The hairs will begin to turn. Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had done so many miracles because they had not repented of their sins and they had not turned to God. So in Jesus' ministry, there was a turning. Who's he been sent to? The Jews. Only the Jews. Gave instructions to the apostles. We're only going to the Jews. But slow through that process, he realized the Jews began to reject him. That's what it said. At the period of times like, in the whole time Jesus was here, 3.5 years of ministry, 3.5 years, he turned the world upside down. First, he sent to the Jews, only preached to the Jews. He's going to the temple. Several things happened. We saw stories with that. But he realized in that process, toward the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of a sudden the Gentiles got involved. He realized something. They rejected me. I'm not going to reject, but they rejected me. Because then I'm going to extend my grace to the Gentiles. Now, these last two scriptures, John chapter 2, verse 13 and 13 through 16. Jesus, you know the story. Jesus is outside the temple. He's seen they're buying and selling. I mean, it's a flea market outside the temple. They're selling turtle doves and goats and whatever you can say. And they're selling to make money. It's a money-making deal. So the Bible says Jesus sat down and began to take some twine and began to make a rope. That takes about half a day. He's sitting there in the apostles' and he's talking, he's teaching, but he's making a rope. What's he making? Well, he's making a whip. Jesus, the Son of God's making a whip. Well, finally he finished it, tied a knot, and all of a sudden he got up, he took that whip, and he went nuts. He walked through the marketplace right outside the temple, and he starts turning tables over. Money's flying everywhere. He's beating people with that whip. He said, stop turning my Father's temple, a place of worship, into a marketplace. And he's mad, so he ran all the money changers out. And so he said, what's going on? I thought Jesus came to love everybody. Yes, but Jesus did not tolerate sin. He loves sinners. God loves sinners. Jesus came to die for sinners. God came to be a blessing to sinners, because all people were sinners. I love this last scripture. Matthew 24. Verse 6 through 14. I'm just going to read one verse out of this. Jesus said this, the kingdom of God will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. People ask, well, do you think the end's going to come? Well, as soon as the gospel gets preached to everybody. And the Bible says only God knows it. Nobody knows the day or the hour when Jesus is coming back. And Jesus talked about it. We'll learn it in the next lesson. Jesus said, I don't even know. Only my Father knows. I don't know. The angels, they don't know. When you come back there, I don't know. Do the angels know? They don't know. Who knows? Only my Father knows when I'm returning to earth. But I do know this. Jesus cannot come back to earth until everybody has heard the gospel. As soon as the gospel has been preached to every creature, then Jesus is going to come back. So what's going on? We're in the last days of human history, man. We're preaching the gospel everywhere. Man, we got evangelists and teachers and TV preachers and churches are growing. We got missionaries. We got people almost in every nation. We got the internet. You know, we've got big program on the internet, man, reaching millions of people. With what? Teaching the gospel. What are you doing? Well, I'm reaching people I would never meet in a lifetime because of technology. So in the last days, God knew the technology will come, that the gospel is going to cover the face of the earth. And one day, it's going to happen. One day, the last person is going to hear the gospel. At that time, you'll hear a trumpet sound, and the church will go home. Now, that's a whole other teaching we'll get into in this series. But we live in the greatest days of human history. We're living in a time where things change. God's got a people called the Jews. They eventually reject Jesus. He goes to the Gentiles, and that's where we're going to. We're going into the Gentile age, the church age, we call it. It's been here for about 2,000 years, and we're in the final days of the church, and it is a great time to be alive. People say, aren't you concerned? No. I am so thankful God allowed me to be alive in the last days. It is the last days, and we happen to be here. And it is the greatest days of human history. Nothing but good is going to happen. So stay tuned. We'll come back next time. We're going to pick this up. We're going to learn a lot, people. It's going to be really, really good. God bless.